believer in this room that goes to heaven, do tell my mother that I wanted to start 15 minutes late in her honor, but the funeral director wouldn't let me do it, and some of you understand. And it's quite a moment when we got the call about Mama, but what a day. Her life verse that she always put on everything was Proverbs 3:5-6. It says, "Trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I found it awful strange that every one of you I spoke to, though we have different last names, according to her, we're all related. If she were here, she could explain it. I thought it odd that everybody we met I was kin to. So that means some of you have got some explaining to do later on. And looking back at all this stuff, as I read over these verses and I see what they say, I got a hold of one of her Bibles. It was a Bible me and Lisa gave her years ago. And it had inside it that these were her life verses. And then she had a thing under there about Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21. And I preached on that on a Sunday morning. And her and Rick both got saved on a Tuesday. Now, can you imagine being under conviction for 48 hours?
Yep.
Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been under conviction for that longer than that. God's been rattling your door for quite a while. And those verses say this: "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." The first few words that will bring under conviction are words on sexual sins. The first one is adultery, listed right here in the Scripture. That is sex outside of the marriage.
Right.
It didn't say whether it was physical or mental, but Jesus Christ defined it as both.
Right.
Then the next word is fornication. That's sex before marriage. God is still against that.
Right.
We test drive cars, not people.
Right.
The third one that we look at is a word called uncleanness, which deals with moral impurity. You say, "I don't know what that is." Watch the news and you'll see it. The next word on sexual sins is a word called lasciviousness, and it is an irregular indulgence of fleshly desires. This would be closely related to the internet pornography that some of you have already indulged in this early in the day. These are all sexual sins. God is against sexual sins.
Right.
He doesn't make excuses for anybody about it.
Yep.
The next set of words deals literally with spiritual sins, where he says idolatry, which deals mainly with worshiping anything that is not God Almighty.
Amen. Yep.
"Thou shalt have none of them," he said, "before me."
Right.
The next word is witchcraft. That's practicing forbidden arts and magic and things like that. And just in case there's one of you here, God is not okay with white magic. He condemns both equally in the word witchcraft. There is no good witches, no matter what you heard on The Wizard of Oz.
Amen.
Third word it deals with in that verse is hatred. Now it gets quiet on me. Hatred is literally hate that stems from envy or jealousness. Don't be like that all your life. Listen, if somebody's got it better than you, always remember their payments are higher. I remember a guy that told me, as a preacher friend of mine, his wife, they went to buy underwear. She said, "Do you want Fruit Loom or Hanes?" He said, "I want Hanes." She said, "Why?" He said, "Because that's what Mike wears." And I thought, Mike, who's he? He's Michael Jordan. And I thought about that and thought about that. And one day I found an article, and I wish I would have kept. This is back when we had newspapers. I don't know if we even got them more. Maybe we do. I don't know. I've never seen anybody reading them more. But it said that Michael Jordan had a car payment on a Lamborghini. I thought, why does a man with that much money have a car payment at all? Blew my mind. Some of y'all feel the pain, don't you? I'd rather have my car payment than his car payment. I went and looked up what a Lamborghini cost, and after I woke up from fainting, I thought, man, I'm sure glad I'm not Michael Jordan. The next word dealing in that verse about spiritual sins is the word variance, and that's something that's it's a difference that produces dispute or controversy between groups or people. Thank God, listen, he said these are spiritual sins. That's not a mental problem. That's a spiritual problem when people get like that. The word emulations deals with rivalry accompanied with the desire of downplaying someone else. I.e., don't think yourself you're higher than everybody else because you're not.
Right.
And since the most of you are here from Gaffney, can I settle something for you to help you for the rest of your life? There are no uppity people from Gaffney. We're all just from Gaffney, mind you. Blacksburg, Antioch, or wherever you're from, there are no uppity people. We're all the same. Ain't you glad today? You wanted a blessing today. There's your blessing. You found out you did like everybody else today. Then there's the word wrath that shows up, and that wrath is literally what the effects of anger are. There was a chaplain in Columbia told me one time, he said that there's not a man on death row that don't know what that word means, and he's lived through it. You better be careful how you let yourself go and keep getting mad at things, because you might react on that thing if you chew on it too much.
Right.
Then there's the word strife in that verse. This is a spiritual sin that deals with striving against God's truth. It's like when somebody says, I know God said this, but don't fight against God's truth.
Yep.
Next word is seditions. That's an uprising of violence among common people. Don't follow the crowd. We get a lot of that in this day and age. I thought of a new group this morning when I was praying, and I think we need to get together. It's called BLM. You ready for this one? Babies' Lives Matter.
Right. Come on.
So what you going to do? Me and the babies going to rise up? I'm almost their height anyway. We can get with it. Then we got the word heresies. And the heresies dealt with in this verse is a spiritual sin. It's taking sides with error against God. We don't want to be on that team and play for that team.
Right.
Next set of words deals with social sins. In verse 21 says envyings. That's jealousy over others' possessions or positions. If you're the president of a corporation today, God bless you. You got more headaches than I sleep through tonight. I'm glad you got them too, by the way. But listen to this. That can affect anybody at any level. I've worked with people before that wanted to be the lead man until they found that they heard that drill sergeant in there called our supervisor cussing him like they're still in the army. I said, thank God I ain't that guy. Ain't you glad you ain't him today?
Yeah.
Listen to this one. Murders. That's an act of killing somebody that outside of the law of God. People commit that every day now. But here's one for you. Jesus said they do it in their mind when they hate somebody. Don't be guilty of that. Ask God to forgive you of that.
Amen.
Then you got drunkenness. And do not come up to me after the service. I don't care if you say you drank one beer or ten. I could care less. You're drunk.
Come on. Yeah.
So how do you know that? Because I quit 30 years ago when I got saved.
Amen.
I did not have it. It had me.
Right.
But when he came in, he threw it all away.
Right.
Thank God for the grace of God and the mercy of God and something like that. Why don't you get a hold of that today? Quit making excuses for it and listen, let the Lord take that thing away.
Amen.
These people sitting here, I've led to the Lord that God delivered you out of all your troubles on that deal.
Come on.
Listen, God's so good to us, he'll do that for you today.
Right.
And here's the sad thing. I'm so dumb it took me 2 days to realize I'd quit. True story. The last one in that verse is revelings. And that's somebody that's loud and rude and it stems from bad behavior. You learned how to do that. You wasn't born that way. You learned how to be that way. God didn't say it was okay. He said that thing was a social sin. I read all this, and my mother was okay till I read this next part. And it says this in verse 21. Of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of heaven. I want to educate you right quickly. The way I know that's both of them are spelled different. That's some Corinth elementary education for you right there. If Miss Harvey was here, she'd say she taught us that in the first grade. But listen carefully. The kingdom of God defined in this Bible is Romans 14:17, where it says it's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. When He brings you under conviction hearing these words, you come to Him and get saved. He don't place you in the kingdom of God. He places the kingdom of God in you. It comes with the person of the Holy Ghost. He said in John 3:16, He'd give us everlasting life. But prior in verse 15, He said He'd give us eternal life.
Right.
Eternal life is not a plan or a prayer. It's a person. His name is Jesus Christ.
Right.
He brings His eternal life, which has never had a beginning, never had an ending, to give you everlasting life where you have a beginning and now you'll never have an ending.
Amen.
That's what the Lord does.
Right.
I'm glad to know today that when I read that in that Bible, I remember sitting down at an old love seat there in the trailer behind the church. My mama got saved, Rick got saved, and God changed their lives.
Amen.
I've heard people say, you preach so hateful, nobody ever gets saved. He did. He was the only one to speak to me after my grandma's funeral. Some of you ought to be ashamed.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
So I wouldn't say that if I was you. That's why I'm up here and you not.
Come on.
Now listen to me. When He come up to me and said to me on a Friday night after I was preaching revival, he said, can I come to church Sunday? I said, you can come. And I thought, wish I had me a message against the cults ready for Sunday. Or in-laws or something. And you know what? This was the message. Some of you need to be saved. God loves you. I fought this since Friday to preach this. I'm going to be all nice and preach on Proverbs 3:5-6 and make you smile. That was the plan. God had other plans.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you as best I can tell you today. I love you. The Lord loves you. And if you want to get saved, you hang around. I've got my Bible with me. Pastor Parker's got his Bible with him. All these men of God in this congregation, they can tell you how to be saved. If I've counted right, we've got about 7 more preachers in here. We all know how to tell you how to be saved. There's Christians here that can tell you how to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who the next one in this room is going to be.
Right.
And it could be a lost one that's gone next time. And I don't know your heart, but you know.
Right.
You know how God's dealt with you over the years. You know how many times you laid in the hospital bed and thought you had died and didn't, and God let you out one more time. You know the last time you was in a car wreck, you should have died and you didn't. You know the last time you had that old nasty COVID, and thank God it's an election year and that stuff went away. But you know yourself how you should not be with us now, but yet the Lord lets you live.
That's right.
And a second thing I want to add, for those of you that are saved, that you make this statement, God left me here for a reason. I met a man here about 16 years ago, said he got shot, lived through it. I couldn't imagine being shot. But he said this, I know God left me here for a reason. I said, when did you get shot? He said, 30 years ago. I said, you don't know the reason yet?
Come on.
Find out. So how would I find out? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Listen, let God show you from His Word and be about the Father's business. So I don't know what I can do. God does, and He'll equip and empower you to do that thing.
Yeah.
I appreciate everybody being here. Some of you, bless your heart. Listen, I haven't seen some of y'all in years. Good to see you. Good to see all my cousins, aunts, uncles, whoever's here. And I appreciate my church members coming. I appreciate my preacher friends coming. But I appreciate the Lord being with us today. Because He sure has helped us through this very difficult time. I never expected. I never expected to be here today. But God is good. We'll see her again soon.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.